Well, first, a few corrections. Around Christmas time, there are lots of things that have arisen in terms of imagination, poetic imagination, like a baby makes no sound when he's awaking. Those of us who have known little infants don't always awake quietly. And Jesus was born a human baby. God became and dwelt in the flesh of a newborn child. And I'm sure that, you know, as some of us have known infants as well, sometimes they do wake up quietly and peaceful. So there's a little bit of a poetic imagination there. But we also, as we read the text, we don't see the lowing necessarily of cattle and animals there. As a matter of fact, out of the shock and awe and worship of the shepherds as they are seeking to find the announced infant, they may very well have left their sheep behind. It's hard to know. Or the farmers in one of those songs, it's an assumption that in a manger, you know, in the cattle trough where Jesus lay, that maybe the farmers came along that had the animals as well. Who knows? That's a little bit of poetic imagination. But we do know that Jesus Christ, God, the second person of the one true and living God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, came through the Virgin Mary. And it's helpful to get a big picture of something, to get a better understanding of its individual parts. So grab your bulletin with you, or the songbook with you, and flip open to that order of service, that very first page. Just look at each lesson there. Lesson one, the promise of a Messiah. Lesson two, God's promise to Noah. Lesson three, God's promise to Abraham. God's promise to Moses in lesson four. Lesson five, God's promise to David. In the prophets, in lesson six, we see God reaffirm his promises. And then we see the fulfillment of God's promises in this baby, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus Christ. That is why it is through him, Jesus Christ, that we utter our amen to God for his glory." All of the promises of God find their yes, their amen. Verily, truly, this is so. They find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And this year we read a little bit longer texts than we've read in years past as we do the lessons and carols. But it's to show that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of each one of these promises. All of the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. God's covenant that we see as he forms covenants with his people throughout the whole Old Testament find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. You might be here tonight and you might not be a Christian. Or you might be here and you think that you are a Christian, or at least you call yourself a Christian, but you kind of doubt that maybe you truly are. You don't know quite for sure. So as you think through all these texts that we read just now, it doesn't make sense why we would read all of these seemingly obscure passages from the Bible. When we come together to glorify God for the giving of his Son in Jesus Christ. Well, friends, it's in these very texts, indeed in the whole Bible, that God teaches us of the promises that find their yes in the birth of the God-man, the Son of the Most High, Jesus Christ. God has shaped history through the making of these covenants, or making of these promises. And in each we see of these passages, we see God's promises made. And it's in Jesus Christ that we see God's promises unstoppably and powerfully kept. Even as we've sung of Jesus, he whom the scriptures of the prophets promised in their faithful word, now he shines the long expected. Let creation praise its Lord evermore and evermore. Or, O come, O come, Emmanuel. Or Emmanuel means God with us, as we've read. And ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. And again we sang his advent, or his coming, Christ's coming, was long foretold. And again in another song we sang of the promise of the ages. Jesus Christ is the promise of the ages in the sense that we saw in the first lesson that God promised an offspring to the woman, Eve, our far-off grandmother, that her offspring would be bruised as he bruises the head of God's and us, his image-bearer's enemy. In the sense that in Jesus we see our only hope of salvation from God's coming wrath. Even as Noah entered the boat to ride out the waves of God's good and just judgment, we see God's long-suffering and patience for his people in Jesus Christ, even as the bow in the sky reminds us that God delays of his final wrath to save yet more. We see that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham in that singular offspring who would come from Abraham's family. And he is the one through whom anyone can be saved from God's enemy, saved from their sin, and saved from the eternal conscious torment in hell that each of us deserve for our sin and rebellion against God. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Moses that one would come like him, who would speak God's words. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to David that a king would come from David's line who would see David's throne established forever. Jesus is the one in whom the prophets wrote that would be born of a virgin, who will be called Emmanuel. The government shall rest upon this Jesus, as this baby's shoulders. And then later in Isaiah 53, we read that this promised one would suffer for his people as a substitute for the sin of his people. In the Bible, we see that this Messiah, or the Christ, is Jesus. The real man who was born, the real man who lived, the real man who was crucified on Calvary, the real man who 3 days later was raised again from the dead, the real man who then later would be ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the real God-man who intercedes for his people even now, and the real man who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says this: he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. Praise God. I wonder if you've ever heard that phrase before: he's the reason of the season. You know, we can get caught up in all of the cultural trappings that come along with the Christmas season. You know, I don't know if what kind of family or cultural traditions that you might have that you inject to this time of year. Maybe this is a joyful time of year for you. Maybe this is a sorrowful time of year for you. Maybe you're all in with the cultural stuff. From Santa to Rudolph, the lights. Maybe your house is all lit up. There's nothing wrong with that. To Frosty the Snowman, whatever it might be, the Grinch, all the rest. Or maybe you don't do any of that stuff. Well, Jesus Christ isn't just the reason for this season. Indeed, he is. But Jesus Christ is the reason for all existence. If you're here and you're not a Christian, don't wait for Christmas, or even if you are a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian, don't wait for Christmas and Easter to celebrate the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your hope truly is in Christ, it is in him that his people live, move, and have their being. The Apostle John wrote this: all things were made through him, through Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament of the Bible wrote this, "For by him," Jesus, "by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." The presidency of President Obama or the presidency forthcoming of Trump, it pales in comparison with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the reason for all seasons. He is the reason for existence. So friend, if you're here and you're trusting in the good news that we can be saved from God's wrath in hell through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, drink afresh of the mystery of the power of God being born as a baby to grow up and die as a substitute for you, taking your sin upon himself in order to bring you to God. Be reminded that we don't deserve his salvation by his grace alone, by faith alone in Christ. And yet, in Jesus Christ, we have found it. Or rather, it has found out us. And if you're not here tonight trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, find salvation. Trusting not in yourself. Repent. Turn from your sin and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other way. Find salvation not trusting in yourself or anything that you can do. Find salvation by faith alone in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone. In this season, do you feel burdened with sorrows? Do you feel burdened with the difficulties of this life? Do you feel that your sin even, maybe you feel like it's too great to find forgiveness in Christ? My friends, stop doubting in the power of God. His mercy and grace in Jesus Christ is powerful enough to save even the worst of sinners. So leave off your sin. Fight it with your hope not in yourself but in Christ, and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Talk with me after the service. I would love to talk with you about how you can turn from your sin and be counted righteous in Christ. Or talk with whoever you came with, or talk with one of those who are here this evening as well. Talk with us about how you can find salvation in the fulfillment of all of God's promises that we have read about even here tonight. The Bible is able, think of this, the Bible, this book, is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So even as the Jews read their Old Testament scriptures that we have in this book, expecting the coming of the Mashiach, or the Messiah, the Christ, so we see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's the big picture of the Bible. God has made promises, and he has kept his promises. He is good. He is trustworthy. You can put all of your eggs in that basket, in trusting in Christ alone. Give your life to God. Give your life to learning how this is true and how you might be found as an inheritor of this promise in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise that you are reliable, that you do what you say you will do, that you even give your people what you command. Now, Father, we give you praise for Christ, and we pray that you would help us to drink afresh of your word, that you would write its eternal truth upon each of our hearts. Cause us to submit fully unto Christ. Cause us to bow before his throne. Oh God, we pray that you would be glorified even as we consider these texts, and even as your word does not return unto you void. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.